The Life of Christ in Stereo. Four inspired voices testify as one. Session 14, based upon the book The Life of Christ in Stereo, written in literary English, revised as The Greatest Story in American English. If you gather in a group, then pose these queries after viewing each slide. What did you learn that was new, helpful, or important? What questions do you have about what you read? A model of the city of Jerusalem in the first century of the Common Era. We are in phase 6 of Jesus' life, final days at Jerusalem. In the month of Nisan, which corresponds to March and April of the Julian calendar, the apparent date for this session is Thursday, April 1st, AD 33. Jesus is preparing for his death and holding final conversations with his apostles. The Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread were 2 days away. When Jesus was finished saying these things, he told his disciples, "You know the Passover is coming in 2 days, and then the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." 2 days in inclusive counting. We note that Passover was the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. A Passover meal was celebrated several times in the week, and preparations were made each day before sundown. On Nisan 13th, Jesus' disciples prepared a Passover meal that he and they took early on Nisan 14th. Also on Nisan 14th, the date of Jesus' crucifixion, folk prepared a Passover meal served early on Nisan 15th. Then Satan entered into Judas Iscariot, one of the 12. He left to consult with the chief priests and the captains about how he might betray Jesus to them. He said to them, "What will you give me if I hand him over to you?" They were delighted when they heard this and promised to give him money. He agreed. Satan is included amongst the world rulers who crucified Christ because they did not know that he was the Lord of glory. When the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread arrived, the day the Passover lamb had to be killed, the disciples came to Jesus. He sent Peter and John, telling them, "Go and prepare the Passover meal for us." When it was evening, Jesus came with the 12. At the appointed time, he reclined at table with the apostles. He told them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not observe it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "I tell you, I will not drink at all from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." What is the kingdom of God in Scripture? It has at least 7 meanings. First, its eternal meaning. God has always reigned over his creation and always will. Then there is the national meaning. The kingdom of God was Israel under Torah law. As a divine kingdom, it came when King Jesus dwelt among us. As a spiritual kingdom, it includes all those who willingly submit to Jesus Christ. There will be a messianic kingdom lasting for at least 1,000 years on earth after Jesus returns, and then there will be the everlasting kingdom leading into the new heaven and new earth. Jesus got up from the supper, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, wiping them with the towel around his waist. He said, "You also ought to wash each other's feet. I gave you an example. You should do as I have done to you." different churches have various foot-washing beliefs and practices. Many believe that Jesus was only giving an example of how we ought to serve one another. Others consider it to be a sacrament, something that priests do for others, or an ordinance, something they practice annually as a ceremony. Others use foot washing as a form of ministry upon those who have repented of sin, or for cleansing following an exorcism. Then there is the cultural understanding. Since we now wear shoes, we no longer wash feet. And yet others consider it an act to show humility or equality between believers. As they were eating, Jesus took the bread and blessed it. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples. "Take it and eat," he told them. "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me." To bless food is to consecrate it to God. Then to give thanks, in Greek, this is the origin of the term Eucharist. And to remember the new Passover lamb. We no longer remember the Exodus lamb. In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink from it, all of you." And they all drank from it. He told them, "This cup which is poured out for you is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out on behalf of many people for the forgiveness of sins." There are a number of different communion beliefs and practices amongst Christian churches. Some believe in transubstantiation, that the bread and wine physically change into the body and blood of Jesus. Others believe in consubstantiation, that the body and blood of Jesus are present in the physical bread and wine. But many others hold to non-substantiation, that is, there is no physicality at all for the body and blood. And there are yet other beliefs. Some hold that Jesus Christ is spiritually present in the event of celebrating communion. Yet others believe it is only symbolical, that is, a mental memorial that can do nothing for you. Yet others say that this becomes meaningful when we have private faith with or without the bread and wine. We recommend the YouTube channel Ready for Harvest for many explanations of the differences between denominations. Here are some recommended elements to include in a communion service, regardless of official theology. Definitely you should pray, asking God for spiritual results. And if you preach, talk about Jesus' death and resurrection. Declare his promises. Read verses about forgiveness and renewal. Then have people prepare for communion by confessing their sins and failures, either quietly to God, to one another, or to a minister. And then practice. Actually share the bread and the cup one with another. Give praise to God, thanking him for a renewed life with Christ. Of course, the bread and cup may be replaced with culturally acceptable substitutes. For example, if there is no bread and no wine, or even grape juice. There are some things to avoid in a communion service. Never criticize others' beliefs and practices. If you wish to teach differences and denominational theology, do so in catechism or Bible classes. Never take up a collection before or after communion, in order to avoid all appearance of selling God's grace for money. And never destroy people's faith by denying that there be any grace or work of the Holy Spirit in this so-called symbol or remembrance. Here is something else to do in a communion service. Confess, that is, admit to God my sins, failures, filthy or cruel thoughts. And then forgive others their offenses against me. And be sure to partake of the bread and cup, unless your church does so spiritually. And be sure that you receive forgiveness and renewal by the Holy Spirit. And then praise Jesus for his loving sacrifice in your behalf. And expect renewed power and help from God to lead a better life. An argument arose amongst them about who was considered the greatest. So Jesus said to them, I am giving you a new commandment. You must love each other. Love each other just as I have loved you. Everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. What do disciples do? They obey their master's commandments. If you choose to continue with this course, your assignment for next time is to visit our website, locus.site, locis.site, then read or listen to Life of Christ in Stereo, Chapter 20, or The Greatest Story, Lesson 24. And be ready to share your insights, queries, and objections with others.